Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Tuesday edition. Merely Bo, the great Z. How you living, buddy?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
Not bad.
Although I am struggling with the allergies. And too. In light of Arrowgate yesterday, all the evidence has been wiped off the board.
It's gone.
So there's a conspiracy afoot.
Well.
We'll get to the bottom of that at some point.
Get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Lest you believe that this happened from somebody outside of the building.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
No.
It's an inside
job. I don't think so at all.
It's got all the hallmarks of an inside job.
Just for the record, I did it.
let's
snip this in the butt right now.
Of course you
did. I took the arrows off the board. I needed it for other things.
John,
I know that the
two
gentlemen in this room, their stock is up.
Your stock's up.
The president is dead. I am responsible.
Yeah.
There he is.
There we go. I understand. I think that
Lee Harvey.
There was a moment yesterday where
did he ever
a co-host of CBD had a bad moment, and therefore his stock was temporarily down. I'm not saying it's not back up, but at the time, it was down.
We're soaring like an eagle.
Well,
we really are.
That's a bold statement, Cotton.
By the way, I'm ready for these allergies to be like
it's tough. It's tough out there in the streets.
I wake up, and my eyes are in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're almost like glued shut. It's terrible.
Your spirit animal is the same way. They're all struggling with it. I don't remember it ever being this bad. I don't remember like having like the itchy eyes and the cough, runny nose thing, scratchy throat thing for this long.
No bueno.
So, no.
But I'll take it if it means like we just have to get through it.
I know. We got to be close, right? It's all awfully green out there.
I think it's like we're probably it's like at most another week, and then I think we're good.
Then we should be smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing.
From that point on.
Yeah.
All right, I want to run something by you.
Please.
Watching NBC, so I turned him on to Arrested Development. Did you happen to watch Arrested Development?
I did not.
Of course he did. So great.
It's a great show, right?
It's fantastic. It's
gone too soon.
Well, and then they brought it back late, and that wasn't as good, but the first three seasons of it are
amazing.
100 miles an hour every episode. He was watching nonsense. I'm like, why don't you try this? Let's watch this. So he and I are watching Arrested Development. And he loves it. Like, he went through, like, a full season over the weekend. I had forgotten how much – first of all, it starts off with a lot of innuendo, but then it's just direct. As the show goes along, like, there's constant stuff, and it's a lot's coming at you very fast. Joe Bluth is unbelievable. He's dying. Like, he was telling me trying to explain a Joe Bluth scene to me over the weekend, and Peyton was just crying. Like, I mean, just bawling, crying, laughing so hard.
I mean, the cast is incredible.
The cast is, it's
look
unbelievable.
At him today. Look at him today.
So much. It's Tuesday.
Monkstrap. It's a business. It must be a big business.
Must be a big, I'm running a business. I mean, no, the cast is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it's a fun, like, if you hadn't seen it.
I should watch it.
It's a fun, it's 20 minutes an episode. Like, it's pure joy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see, did it go away because of the writer's strike?
No, it was on Fox. It was on Big Fox, which when you watch it now, it's impossible to wrap your head around that it was on Big Fox because they were throwing a lot of stuff at you. That probably should have been FX or HBO.
Yeah.
It was on network TV, and I just don't think it didn't rate. So it was like this really cult phenomenon that a lot of people liked, but it wasn't like a big hit. And then Netflix did a couple of seasons of it later. But it really got a second kind of life on Netflix. But anyway, so we were watching that. And then the other thing that I told him to try, cause he wanted drama too. So I said, well, why don't we try Friday Night Lights? So
great.
We watched a little bit of Friday Night Lights, and he was like, I don't even want to watch this. And I'm like, just give it a shot. I think you probably are going to like it. And, so the first time he sees Lila Garrity, he was like, I'm like, so what do you think? He goes, she's mid for a 90s chick.
You said mid. Yeah,
mid.
Outrageous.
Get out of here.
No,
then he was floored that the dog is named after that Buddy Garrity, which was pretty great. But this was the reason I brought all this up. The episode we're watching last night, it was like the fifth episode of season one. Matt Saracen is in the scene. And NBC goes, what's that on his wrist? And it was a Livestrong bracelet.
Oh, wow.
And I went, he goes, what is that? And I said, it's a Livestrong bracelet. He goes, what's that? And I went,
well,
how do I explain that? How do I explain? It's a long story.
It's a very long story.
It's a complicated, long story.
Lots of twists and turns.
My mother got cancer in 98 the first time. We all wore Livestrong bracelets the whole time she had it. I wore mine until it fell off my wrist. It was a sense of strength and pride for all of us. One Christmas, she got me a pair of Livestrong Air Maxes.
Wow.
So, like, it was something that was central to, like, her fight was the belief of that. And anybody who had cancer during that time, it was a critical part of that fight.
Totally.
And you think about, like, what Armstrong represented. You think about the fact that Armstrong, like, is the – obviously, there's still the Tour de France, but I haven't heard about it in a decade.
Me neither.
Like, he not only did, when all of that came to light, this, like, you could argue he was the most famous athlete on the planet or the most popular athlete
Absolutely.
On the planet. His approval rating was 1,000
yep.
for a while. And then he just, all of it was true. I remember Floyd Landis, I think, was the guy who exposed him. And, like, he was vaporized. Like, Greg LeMond, who was a previous Tour de France winner, he exposed him. He was vaporized. They were gone. And then it was all true. And he had been, ended up admitting it, but, like, so the Livestrong thing, like, went from, like, something that people who had cancer would wear as, like, a sign of strength to, like, a true fashion statement where everybody wore those things. I'm yeah. sure you guys had them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
wore them. Like, it was, like, an accessory that people made. And then there were other causes that tried to copy that. And then, so that went by the wayside. I don't even know if anybody in the United States is still cycling. Like, are they trying to win the Tour de France? Like, that's gone.
Know.
I don't know,
there's like 10 bikes that ride by my house every day, like in the evening. I'm yeah. like, oh, the Tour de Olmsted Falls is going.
There they are.
Here we go. Who's got the yellow jacket today?
But it's a crazy thing to wrap your head around.
So people understand. So in 1997, the Lance Armstrong Foundation was founded, which supported people affected by cancer. The foundation raises awareness for cancer, raised more than $325 million from the sale of the yellow Livestrong bracelets alone.
Yeah.
$325 million.
From rubber bands.
So that's incredible. So, yeah, so where – it's funny, when you brought that, I had to go on his wiki to try to even, like, figure out where we actually were, because he denied it, then kind of said, yeah, maybe.
Well, then really said yeah.
And then said yeah.
He was on Oprah and then said, yeah, I did all of it.
Man.
And I think there's a movie about it that was out.
Wasn't he dating Sheryl Crow?
Yes.
Who was
Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
Sure, Sheryl Crow.
No, it was...
He had everything going.
Yeah.
This is what he says. This is what he said on Oprah. He admitted to doing wrongdoing. He also said it was absolutely not true that he was doping in 2009 or 2010 and claimed the last time he quote-unquote crossed the line was 2005. So it was somewhat of it. After that report, all of Armstrong's sponsors dropped him, lost $75 million of sponsorship income in a day. Nike
well, he was
in 2013.
Discovery, Nike, U.S. Yep. Postal Service, like... He was the U.S. Postal Service. Sponsored him.
In a 2015 interview with BBC News, Armstrong said that if it were 1995, he probably would do it again. He won the Tour de France.
7 times?
Yeah, I think it was, let's see. 7 consecutive times from 99 to 2005. Jeez. Stripped of his titles after an investigation.
It was a whole Team USA doping problem. It was.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. No, it is wild.
Where is he now?
So I was curious about it, and I looked it up, and it looks like he just goes back and forth between Austin and Aspen. At one point, he did like a podcast like 7 years ago, but like all of this came to a head a decade ago.
So he's just kind of living an anonymous life.
Just living off the grid or you know, just probably keeping to himself because who wants to hear from him? I mean, he's in Dodgeball. He gives the inspirational speech to Peter LaFleur at Dodgeball.
Oh, my God, that's right. Wow.
But, yeah, Peter, you should give up. I fought cancer and all this and won the Tour de France. But, yeah, you should give up on your little dodgeball game.
Jeez.
Udo
that's
even
wild.
Knew that movie.
So
yeah,
what did
Udo
he,
doesn't know any movie.
How did
so,
he make sense of it?
I just redirected. It's just a bracelet that represents the fights against cancer, and I just redirected because I didn't. We're in the middle of the episode. I wasn't going to go into all this.
Yeah, no, it's a long,
but it's a lot going on.
It's a long story.
And so his popularity, the comet that he was, that sport. There was a time where like everybody would watch that.
Yeah,
we would watch
Tour
him
France
in the mountains.
Yeah, the Mountain Stages.
It would be in the Mountain Stages in the morning. You'd have it on in the morning, and it was on Discovery Network, and it would you'd watch him do it, and it was kind of on in the background.
Yeah.
It was omnipresent for probably a decade almost.
It's wild.
It absolutely is. I know I still have those shoes. I have them somewhere. I wouldn't throw them away. I definitely have them somewhere. They might be up at the lake, but I definitely have them, the Livestrong Air Maxes. That I have.
What was the boy going to watch before you put on these fantastic programs?
Oh, they'll YouTube will feed you nonsense for an infinity.
Yes.
So they'll if you get into a YouTube portal like their age, you get into a YouTube portal, it will feed you it. It will just feed you one nonsensical
watch some quality program.
Yeah. So that was my point. I'm like, I'm telling you, this is better than what you're watching. There's nothing out there that some dipstick's going to do on YouTube that's better than Joe Bluth doing an illusion. Trust me. So it's an illusion, Michael. So good. So you'd like it. You'd like it.
I would like it.
Yeah, you're going to like
so
it.
So here's what he said, how he got away with it. I guess he told Bill Maher this like recently, is that the thing that he was really taking was called erythropoietin.
Okay.
I may have said that right. A red blood cell boosting hormone that increases oxygen transportation throughout the body, thereby improving aerobic performance. It only has a 4-hour half-life. So he could take it, pass his test, take it before a race, and it would be out of his system by the end of the stage.
Yeah.
In terms of a test. So he said that's how he was able to do it. And he never failed a drug test. So interesting that a thing that people would probably think about from an endurance standpoint, like something with his muscles, but it was actually the most beneficial thing that he took because steroids, he said, had too long of a half-life, so he couldn't take those. Those would show up in the test. But this enhanced his aerobic performance throughout his body so much that he called it rocket fuel.
Jeez.
How about that?
How about that?
Said with EPO, which was the rocket fuel that changed not just our sport, but every endurance sport, you have a 4-hour half-life. So it leaves the body very quickly. With a 4-hour half-life, you can just do the math. The length of an average Grand Tour stage, meaning by the time the stage was finished and Armstrong might be tested, the level of EPO in his system was undetectable. It's amazing that he found, that he found that.
Yeah.
What's crazy is I didn't realize he's only 52.
Yeah.
I just saw that too. In my mind, he's been
off the grid for a decade.
Much older.
For a decade. I haven't thought about him, the bracelets, none of it.
So then he was like in his 20s when he was
dominating
all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Did you guys have a point of reference on Lance Armstrong? You know who he is?
Yeah, I was pretty aware of all of the scandals that he was involved in. I didn't know. I wouldn't have had the 7 consecutive, but I knew he was like the best of that sport.
Yeah.
At least in our country, I don't know about the other.
No, of all time. I mean, okay, no one had done what he had done. It was unprecedented. He was the greatest cyclist of all time. Second to billionth, quite honestly, at that point.
But
I haven't thought. I haven't thought about that event or him or those bracelets. Matt Saracen is wearing one trying to ask out Julie Taylor.
It's unreal.
Last night on Friday Night Lights. That's what did it. There you go. According to sources, looks like we're picking up the fifth-year option on cornerback Greg Newsome, paying about $13.37 in 2025. All three starting quarterbacks are locked in until 2025. With that, today there must be close to a deadline date on that, right? Because I saw a lot of guys like.
I think it's May 2nd is the date.
Okay, so I'm seeing a
Thursday.
Lot of those pop through today.
Yep, which is Thursday. Do we have that in around the league? Everybody else who did it.
We have that coming up in a segment.
Yeah,
and who still has not been.
Yep.
So
all right.
They didn't, going back to the whole Tour de France.
Winners, sure.
The 7 years, like Lance forfeited the 7 years. They never gave it to anybody else.
No, they're just like
just
vacant.
No
yeah, like no chance.
Like Reggie Bush's Heisman. Are we to assume that, and I don't know. Are we to assume that this is like, the baseball stuff where you just assume everybody was doing it? Some
yes,
form of it?
Yes. Interesting is what this thing sounds like to me. You know, I always think about steroids. This is like creatine. Remember, was mm-hmm. that creatine that Brady Anderson hit 52 home runs because of creatine?
It was Andro.
And he was an Androstein. Androstein
diet. Yeah.
And McGuire was taking that, but it was legal.
He had it in his locker.
Yeah. Yeah. It is weird. What I guess is performance enhancing. You know what I like? Where does that? What's the line? You have something that's enhancing your red blood cells. That sounds very scientific, and obviously mm-hmm. is enhancing them. But so is training is enhancing mm-hmm. your performance. So yeah. is it
artificially enhancing your performance is where the issue is? Maybe I don't know.
I guess, but I would imagine without doing the real training, the artificial enhancements wouldn't matter anyway.
Yeah, most of the people I talked to a guy who played during that era who I was friends with years ago, and one of the things he said is like, look, the reason that I did those things was for rehab, so I could get back sooner.
Yeah.
From an injury. That's what I used them for. And it was funny because when I had a couple of years ago when I had my back got bombed.
Yeah, and I got some roids.
I got a little shot, and all of a sudden I was better relatively soon. Now, I haven't had one since, but when I had it, that stopped it. It's like, okay, that's a win. So, you know, you understand that side of it. It's just complicated. It's, you know, you're in this, that Reggie Bush getting the Heisman back thing, and, you know, we stumbled into this, but like the rules of the times.
Yep. Yep.
Baseball didn't test for those things. It's, at that time, they didn't at all. And well, it's just like, it's like that in a lot of things. Like,
it's a bigger issue in society, just in large, that
for sure.
people are being canceled for things that were in that time.
Absolutely.
Not frowned upon.
No, Seinfeld.
Not that they were okay.
Seinfeld made headlines with this yesterday, with this sort of thing about the stuff that you couldn't do.
Why do you? It's interesting to me that our guy, though, LD, has found a way to navigate
so
that.
So Seinfeld was asked that directly, and he said Larry was grandfathered in. He was already doing it. He didn't have to go through six people to approve it. He was already doing it.
Yeah.
So, which makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. How many people were going to fact check or like try to have a rewrite of a Larry David script?
You can't.
It's done. The guy's co-creator of Seinfeld. Like,
he's Larry David.
He does whatever he wants. Yeah. That's probably why he stayed at HBO. That's probably.
But Seinfeld, I feel like, should have that same.
I think he does.
Okay.
But he's saying that in general we don't.
Younger.
And furthermore, I would say like if you bring it full circle to the conversation about Arrested Development, I don't know where that show is not on Fox now. At all. That show is on HBO, or that show is on Netflix primarily. I don't even know how it gets made.
Forget the stuff from like the 70s when you think of like Sanford and Son and
yeah.
All in the family.
All that. Yeah.
Those have no, I mean, 0% chance, obviously, of getting, but that was a much, much different time.
Mm-hmm.
One more recent that I still am, when you go back and watch them, is incredible that they were not completely done. And obviously, Jimmy Kimmel's gone on to be very successful. But The Man Show was outrageous.
In retrospect.
I was a big fan at the time.
Same.
But yeah, in retrospect, like the fact that made it onto the air.
That guy then got a late night show.
He's hosted the Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that part. That's pretty wild.
It is interesting how some people have that past and they can navigate it. Because, I mean, it was put on TV at the time. Nobody had a problem with it.
It's all over YouTube. Like,
right.
Yeah, you could see it.
But
it was on Comedy Central. It was on late.
Yeah.
So you had, I guess.
That's
maybe
a show
that
for a young Griff to.
Young Griff would like that.
He would like that show a great deal.
I wonder if there's still those episodes anywhere of that show.
Oh, I bet there is.
At one
full
point.
Full episodes?
Well,
one thing that's happened, though, is there are certain shows that are just gone.
Yes.
Like the catalog's gone. You can't buy the DVDs. They're not streaming anywhere, so they don't exist. There is some of that that's out there.
I keep trying to find I'm with Busey. That was one of my favorite reality
shows.
I
loved I'm with Busey. That Who's was
with Busey?
Incredible.
I'm with Busey. Dave Spano, actually, the way that I can watch that is gave me a flash drive that somehow he had was able to download it onto this like flash drive.
That had it?
That has it.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no. There,
that's the fun. That's
you
one of
go
the hardest
to,
I've ever
Try
laughed.
To find that. Oh, my God. That show is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was one of the best shows ever.
There's no doubt. Yeah. That was spectacular. That and An Idiot Abroad are the hardest I've ever laughed at on wow. reality TV. Those two things are the hardest I've ever laughed.
Early Osbournes.
Pretty good, too.
Was incredible.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Before they got in on the shtick.
I don't know that Ozzy ever got in because I don't know if he has the capacity to ever.
I think Sharon was making sure he was a certain version of himself is what it seemed like.
I mean, he was barely there.
Yeah. No.
But he was incredible.
Yes, he was.
Sharon.
Brown's top two rookies have officially picked their jersey numbers. Mike Hall with 51, which he wore at Ohio State. Zach Zinter goes with number 70. I saw Corey handing these out. That was cool in the video.
Yeah, that was cool. And Mike Hall came in wanting a single digit. He's like, sorry.
He was hoping for a single digit.
He was hoping for a single digit.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
Remember, Stefanski really, really kept those locked down early because Delpit wanted seven early.
Yeah.
And now a lot of those guys wanted singles right out of the gates. Uso-Koromoa wanted a single right out of the gates, and he had to wear 28 first.
And so Delpit got what now?
Now he's at like nine. I think.
Yeah. Close.
Because Hopkins wears seven.
He's gaining on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't.
Because seven's the LSU number.
Yeah.
I think, I want to say, is five the Northwestern number? Greg Newsom, when I interviewed him, told me he gifted whatever number he had, he then gifted to Cam Mitchell, and that was like their.
That was their number.
Their
was,
number.
I think, yeah.
It may have been five.
With all due respect to Greg, I'm not sure there is a Northwestern number.
Well,
usually there's a. Usually you have to have a long lineage.
A lineage.
Of dudes. Greg's yeah. a dude.
Sure.
You have to have a long lineage of dudes. Like the seven is.
It's pretty well.
Long.
Yeah.
Long.
Sure, sure.
And distinguished. All right. We also have this from Dave & Buster's. They're going to be allowing customers to bet on arcade games. Customers can now can soon make a friendly $5 wager on Hot Shots basketball, a bet of skee-ball competition, or other.
What does this mean?
Hold on. Here.
What is,
I found I
need
the
more,
article.
I need
find
to,
it.
I need
give,
to
give me some more details.
Here we go.
Okay.
This is from CNBC.
Okay.
Dave & Buster's will begin offering loyalty members the ability to bet on its games.
Love it.
Adults age 18 or older will be able to place real money wagers on arcade games with friends. The technology is expected to be available in coming months.
It's be like an app on your phone.
Customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on a Hot Shots basketball game, a bet on a skee ball competition, or on another arcade game. Well, it'll work through the company's app.
Yep.
Okay. So, question, and maybe I'm not getting it, but like if you and I were there playing Hot Shot, mm-hmm. The person has to be there, right? This is both people. Wouldn't you be like, hey, dude, $5 on this game? Like, I mean, I don't get it.
Well, so they call it a friendly wager.
Yeah. You're saying why would I have to go through the app?
Yeah.
Probably just because then you have to have the money. Probably just easier, right? Versus actually having cash to change hands. Like load up a card and it changes hands
sure.
that way. Nobody carries cash anymore, dude.
No.
I rarely do.
I have some right now, but rarely.
The only reason I have it now is because sometimes I have to pay to park at things.
Well, I'm Cavs game
or valet.
I need to get cash in case
yeah.
I'm going to try to take care of parking.
Yeah. No, that's the way that goes. Guess who loves Dave & Buster's?
Bootsy. Do they still
by the way,
have
the love picture him. Of him
with the
holding court?
Oh my god!
Oh, you hadn't seen
yeah.
that?
Was un and yet totally believable.
Sometimes people will say to me, "Are you making up this stuff with him?"
No,
no. These are the choices that he makes in the course of a given day, and
Crocs and socks.
That's right.
It's fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. That's where he's at. Hat backwards, chicks.
He's tremendous. Do they still have it, Dave & Buster's? It's like a Kentucky Derby, and there's like six horses, and you like really have to kind of like ride the horses.
Probably.
That is a great game. It is exhausting. And if yeah. you go too fast, your horse peters out. You got to like.
Oh, yeah, I remember
rhythm.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a great game.
I do remember that one.
It was
one.
Almost like a Carney game that you would see.
Yeah. But you were sitting on like
you were doing
the rocking.
Really getting after it. Yeah, the – trying to think. I don't know. The last time I was at one was with him. It was over on the west side. I can't remember.
North Olmsted has, or Westlake has.
Is it Westlake that we went? Yep. I think it was there. We went in there. It was pretty great.
Still there.
Okay. Yeah, that yep. was it. Like, so when NBC's like going to Cedar Point with his buddies, that's where Bootsy wants to go. He
love
wants
it.
To go to Dave & Buster's to get that done.
I love it. So yeah. I love that young man.
Yep. Yep, he got into the pool first in yesterday.
I never got the video.
Sorry.
So how did you foil the attempted foiling?
They got distracted. So he actually got a pretty good head start on it, to the point where he got a little meditation that he could give beforehand.
Oh boy,
he's in
Zen.
He's in boxers only,
of course.
Is you know because there's no time to change.
Better, a little better. The cannonball's come a long way in a year. What was his war cry there? Sui
something?
That's what it sounded like.
I don't know. He was all proud. He's got some new dive he's been working on, so he does like a flip like a roll flip thing in that he can do that his brothers can't. So he's excited about that.
He had a does he still have the robe? Because really, that's what it comes down to.
Of course
to.
He's got the robe.
Yes, he has the robe. Of course he does have the robe. Yeah.
What did you make of the diving scene in Shogun?
Okay.
Torogawa wants...
Torinaga, you
Torinaga
mean?
Torinaga wants Blackthorn to show him how to dive. Remember when he can dive off the boat like 100 times in a row?
Yeah.
But then he does do it, and they race to the shore. So but they just kept making him go dive. It was like episode two. Dive over and over,
over and over and over. Yeah, you keep having to show him how to do it.
And then he's like, okay, I got it. And then he did it.
So
it,
and they had to sort it out. Yeah. Maybe just like... Maybe that was at that point where he was just kind of realizing what the guy was capable of, that he could teach me how to die, if he could teach our army to have cannons and gunfire and everything else.
Boy, that cannon, when the cannons were unleashed at the end of episode four, which is what we just watched.
Unleash the hounds on that.
I felt bad for that one particular horse.
Yeah, that was grisly.
Ooh. That was like, to me, and there was plenty of stuff that was pretty grisly in Game of Thrones. But like the first thing I ever saw something that I was like, oh my God, was Saving Private Ryan when they're storming the of Normandy. And you're oh my God.
Well, and also the fact that that happened. Like the rest of this kind of fantasy stuff, so you can kind of
this is kind of, I feel like this is pretty real, the Shogun.
Yeah. That's a good show. I've been we watched it. I binged like the first four, and then I was on the schedule. I was watching it week to week. So I had to wait a week in between episodes.
I'm ready to go. I'm trying. And
you could.
Miss K can only handle like one a night because for the intense show. And I'm just like, I don't want to stop.
Well, you can't
give me
four
of them.
You can't dual screen it.
No, you're locked.
You are locked in, which is something.
If anybody out there listening liked Game of Thrones, which you are our audience, I would imagine you did, you will love Shogun. It's great.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's you can just tell it's building to even, and I'm just getting going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're halfway, because I think there, is there eight?
I think there are 10.
Maybe there are 10.
I think it's a full 10.
Yeah. So I knew it was coming, and then I had it locked. I kind of backloaded the first four or five.
Yeah.
And so that I could kind of go consecutively.
AB's on six. He's through six. And okay. He loves it. And I think he watched a couple last night.
Yeah. No, it's quite good.
Yeah.
Quite good across the board. Speaking of formidable, I saw this story yesterday that there was an intoxicated gentleman from Idaho who decided that it would be a good idea in Yellowstone Park to go kick a bison.
That seems not like
perfect.
A,
is there a video
of
this?
Of a good idea.
So the dude, the bison then kicked him, which you're lucky that's all it did.
Yep.
And then, so this guy was arrested and now he could face jail time and fines and he should get all of it. But have either of you ever seen a bull bison in person?
No.
Griff has.
Yep, Griff's nodding in person.
Griff, would you say, I feel relatively confident in saying the biggest North American mammal, land mammal?
Pretty close.
Has to be. I don't even know what would be. I suppose there might be some breed of cow that has like a giant one that weighs more, but certainly none taller than a bull bison.
A grizzly?
So, oh, no. Gosh, no.
Not even close.
No. So
elk,
like
a giant
elk. Not even a brown spot.
No. Not even a moose. No, way bigger. I would say just on the planet, the only mammals for sure bigger would be elephant, rhinoceros, giraffe.
Yeah, I have no interest in doing anything or getting involved with this.
I would have a full-grown American bison fourth on the pecking order of land mammals worldwide.
Number one.
Elephant's got to be one.
List of the heaviest land mammals. Number one, the African bush elephant.
Yep.
Number two, the Asian elephant.
Yep.
Number three, the African forest elephant. Number four, rhinoceros.
Nailed it.
Number five, hippopotamus.
Oh, the hippo.
Then you've got the Indian rhinoceros, the black rhinoceros, the Javan rhinoceros, the giraffe.
Yep.
The gaur, G-A-U-R.
I don't know what the hell that is.
A bovidae.
G-A-U-R.
Yep. A cattle.
Oh, that's a bison. That's a form of bison. Yes,
and then American bison has
Oh, my God. 12th. The guar is called a tiger killer.
Guar.
Guar. What's the other one? What was the other one before the bison? The bow. What was that?
The Javan rhinoceros?
No. I know all the rhinos. There was another thing that I'd never heard of after the guar.
Elephant, hippopotamus, giraffe. It said cattle. That was it. Went guar, cattle, American bison.
We depend on the cattle. There's none.
Oh, I said Bovidae. That's the family. I was saying that it was from the bovine family.
Yeah, I buy that there would be a certain type of cow that might be bigger, some
still,
oxen or something
10,
like that.
If you're looking
the things
at
that
overall,
are all like
and its height would be significantly more than almost all of those except for the giraffe and the elephant. There's no cow that's
camel's
bigger than
that. Not that far off of it. Giant elland, wild
how did
yak,
the interaction
wild water
go
buffalo.
Down?
Guy's drunk, walks up to the bison, kicks it. Bison smokes him, he then gets arrested. You're lucky, he's so lucky he didn't die. Because if that thing would have got its head turned on him, game, set, match. It's over. It's over. Don't approach the animals, folks. Not a zoo. Not a zoo. If you go out to the Montana.
The largest domesticated bison that was ever, or semi-domesticated, that was ever measured was 3,801 pounds. The largest cattle ever was 3,090 pounds. The largest gar, 3,310 pounds. Giraffe, 4,400. And then you get in the rhinos and you go from 5,000 up to the biggest rhino is 9,900.
Wow, those are like that's like an SUV.
The elephants, the African forest elephant, 13,200. Asian elephant, 17,600. And then the big mamajama, the African bush elephant, 22,000 pounds.
Those are big boys.
Those are big boys.
Don't kick those guys either if you're intoxicated.
If you're even in a car, you best be going.
Not going
to
go well for you.
No. By the way, grizzly bear, because I was curious about them. The biggest bears are 2,200 pounds.
They're formidable. Yeah, like a formidable grizzly bear, brown bear. Those are monsters. Alaskan browns are huge.
And the polar bear also.
Yeah, polar bears. Yeah, I've seen one of those only at a zoo, not in the wild.
In the wild? No.
No, not in the wild.
Been
the others I have.
To Antarctica
recently?
I've
not been. No. Not, nor Alaska. Not been there.
No.
All right. Time for a little news around the league. We're off and running on a Tuesday. Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Sports betting partner, your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Rolling Stones, Hackney, Diamond Sewer, Saturday, June 15th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/rollingstones. For more information, as we go around the league, the Patriots reportedly declined numerous trade interest at pick number 3 in last weekend's NFL draft, including a large deal from Minnesota that included the 11, the 23, and the 2025 fifth.
Supposed to be first. I wrote that wrong.
Well, I think that's I'm not going to hold it against you because I think we 11th and 23rd pick.
But also the 2025 first
round pick.
Oh, 2025 first.
So would have been 3-1.
3-1. Okay. I would have done that deal if I were New England.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I can roll the dice on J.J. McCarthy at 11. I'm not even sure Drake May's – am I certain Drake May's better than J.J. McCarthy? So I probably would have just done that. Then I can get another guy at 23, and now I have 2-1s in 25. Now I can start to actually build this roster.
I can't believe that.
I'm surprised Elliott turned that down, unless it wasn't Elliott and maybe it was – Bob Kraft, who turned it down.
I wonder if that's the same deal they tried to make for Herbert and got turned down.
Considering what Harbaugh did, maybe they should have.
If you're just turning around and hand the ball off.
If all you're going to do is not throw it.
If you're going to throw it no times in the second half against Penn State, what do you need Justin Herbert for?
Don't need him. If I'm New England, I would have done that deal. I like the ones.
I would have done that deal in a heartbeat, dude.
3-1s, and you can pick at 3, and I'll pick at 11 and 23, and I'll have 2-1s next year. You can start Drake May, and I'll have I'm going to be bad, so I'm going to pick in the top 5 next year. Now, next year's not a quarterback draft. It sounds like it's going to be Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, both those guys. Quinn's still pretty wildly inconsistent.
Yeah.
He's got a rocket of an arm, but he's – some of the criticisms of him I don't think are probably going to stand up well to NFL testing and so forth. The Patriots,
the criticisms won't stand up well, or the criticisms.
The thing, his shortcomings will not hold up well to the NFL microscope.
Got it. Well, hopefully it wasn't like a documentary where he was a crud.
No, nothing like that. No, no, no. There's zero like that. Christian Barmore gets a 4-year deal up to $95 million for the Patriots. Largest non-Tom Brady contract in Patriots.
That's wild. That's wild.
I don't know why they didn't just go full on. They should have. They needed so much.
Yeah.
New England did. Yeah. Jaguars today released wide receiver Zay Jones and kicker Joey Sly.
Zay Jones, if we were bringing in a veteran to that room, I wouldn't. I'd kick the tires on Zay Jones. Zay Jones, health has been a little bit of an issue for him, but in terms of a guy that is big and can run, he certainly fits that bill quite well. Although I think this team has been very encouraged by some of the things they've seen. Again, we're not on the grass, as you're going to hear Andrew Berry say here in a little bit, but that you got guys who can run a little bit. Zay Jones is a big guy. I guess, I don't know, former second-round pick in the 2017 draft, 3,000 yards.
It's 2017 already.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get Zay confused.
2 years ago, he had 82 catches, 823 yards. It's only 10 yards a catch with Jacksonville. We don't need that.
Nope.
But they're in Jerry Jeudy. I think there's a little bit of a growing excitement based on what they've seen.
For him, yeah, I'm sure he would admit this. It's never been about not making it look good this time of year or in camp.
He
just got to stay healthy, and he's just got to get on the field and play. And
yep.
Once that happens, it's never been about potential or ability with him. He's got all of that. Howie Roseman and the Eagles are only signing 7 UDFAs, and instead of signing players off of – are instead signing players off of teams' practice squads. Here is Rose. Where is this from, his press conference?
Yeah, this is from his post-draft. I guess they were saying – he talked yesterday, and they were like, reportedly, because no one's undrafted free agent list is available yet until rookie minicamp to talk about ours. Even though there are things out there, it's all rookie minicamp actually starts, but – I guess Howie said we only have 7 guys coming in addition to our draft class, and he was like, "Why?
Why do I need to? Here you go."
That's why we're down here earlier. It's the smallest undrafted group I've ever been part of. I think total did we get 7 guys? So different, and I think a big part of that is because we made a conscious decision after the season to try to get guys from teams' practice squads. Where we had some tape to watch, and we felt like, that was just for us kind of a unique opportunity that we wanted to try and take advantage of based on this class. And knowing that kind of this was a different class, and so it wouldn't have kind of the same opportunities in the undrafted market that maybe you'll get next year. So we tried to take advantage of that a little bit earlier. I think it'll be back to normal next year.
There you go.
So on one hand, you're getting somebody that's got a 1 year under their belt of what it takes to be a professional at this level. They have gotten, NFL coaching. They are exposed to NFL schemes. There's probably some preseason tape of these people. The downside is that you then only have them for 2 years before you have to make a decision. So it's just a little bit of a tougher decision, I think. It's more for how long would you want this person to be in your program? Do you want them to be learning your stuff? Do you have to be teaching them new techniques? Would you like them to come right in? And I think it's based on some people they probably liked in their evaluations, and then an opportunity to get them into their program. I think you could go either way with it, honestly. I think it's either way you're going to be just fine.
Absolutely.
So they took Austin Watkins.
Oh, off of from us?
Yeah. I guess they didn't pluck him per se right off of our practice squad. They waited till the end of the year. We did not offer him a contract, and Philly swooped in and
gobbled him up. There you go. Cincinnati Inquirer reporting the Bengals offer to T. Higgins never approached the $20 million per year range. The raw offer wasn't close enough to get Higgins' representation to discuss guaranteed money, according to reporter Kelsey Conway. So the sides have negotiated in more than a year. The number that I saw on Higgins that he was hoping to be like in the 23 range, which is kind of the Terry McLaurin range, that feels very reasonable.
Yeah.
Like,
Exhibit A. Too many receivers are coming out every year. They're fine letting them go and drafting one.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a good point by you.
Better than my It's over. No, trust me. That could be a hall of famer for me.
Well, and like it's almost since you said it, everybody's going out of their way to prove your point. Yeah, it's crazy. By the way, I have another. This doesn't sound real to me, but it is. Do you know who John Football is dating?
He's really made a hell of a comeback in the last year or so.
Was he?
I'm guessing he still does quite well for himself.
He was.
I think he was at a Cavs game, yeah.
John Football is dating the daughter of retired Major League Baseball player Jose Canseco.
Now that makes sense.
I mean, are you kidding
me?
That's a reality show.
That's what you want right there.
He can't make this up.
No. That's perfect.
John Football and the daughter of Jose Canseco.
Still has cash, John Football.
I think it feels like it. I wonder how much he got for doing his
I mean, you still get all you get all those Heisman appearances.
Right, but is he running around throwing cash? Fun coupons.
I don't
Jordan
know, maybe
Belfort
on that
style.
Well, level, as of but March I think he's still 14th, doing fine.
Johnny Manziel's net worth is $1 million.
Probably a little more.
Probably a little more than that.
You want a fun fact about Jose Canseco?
Sure.
He follows me on Twitter out of complete nowhere.
That
followed me
great.
Randomly one day.
Ask him what he thinks about his the romance.
I will let him. I'll ask him. I'll DM him right now.
Thank you. Also, did you see Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, which I would be curious to watch? There can be knockouts now. They made the rules like it's an official sanctioned bout now. It will count for their records. And you knockouts are permissible.
Do you think that this is...
Because at first that was not there.
Do you think that this is perhaps the perfect end to the Jake Paul experience? Like, he lost to Mike Tyson. What are you going to do? Know what I mean?
I don't see what necessarily the upside is for him unless he wins.
Or Paul?
Paul. Yeah. I don't think there's any downside for Mike Tyson. I think if Mike Tyson knocks Jake Paul out at 58 years old, isn't that what he is?
Yeah.
Then I think that's the nail in the coffin for him.
I think you have that right. I don't have a problem with that at all.
God, these allergies, it's like
it's tough. It's tough out here in the streets, kids.
Jeez.
Coming up next, Z sits down with our boss man, AB. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, here you go. The man in charge of our draft and our roster, our general manager, AB, with Z.
Very happy now. Can we talk about the draft that actually was? And I am joined by our general manager, Andrew Berry. AB, how are you? How you feeling after a wild few days?
Doing well. Appreciate you having me, Nate. A little bit more rested than I was coming out of Saturday night.
So, I bet.
I'm raring and ready to go.
We ended our interview last Monday when I asked, how would you categorize this draft being a success? You said if we maximized our resources. So did you think you were able to do that?
I think time will really tell. I think, on the player front, they haven't hit the grass yet. So
sure.
That's obviously a big piece of it. I'd say in like the resource management piece, there were a couple opportunities that going into the weekend we hoped would become available to us that didn't, because we would have liked to turn six picks into a few more, whether it was, present or future. But we are excited about the group of players we were able to bring in.
Were you frustrated? Because I would imagine you've traded in every single draft that you've been in except for this one. It's the first time you just got to stand still. Was that tough? Were you like, come on, maybe they're afraid of you? I said it in the Monday show.
I don't think it was anything about in terms
like
of
if Andrew Berry's calling,
I think,
put the phone down.
I think it's just more just sometimes the ball bounces that way. It's sure. Just sometimes you don't have the opportunities that you hope are there, or sometimes you do, but it's just the timing isn't right. So but like I said, we're happy with the guys that we were able to select.
All right, let's start with the first pick in this draft, number 54, Mike Hall, the defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Before we get into him as a player, talk to us about that circumstance, because we know a lot of calls were being made, and that's one of the situations where you have to weigh, do we want to go trade and get more assets, or we love this guy. Let's stay here and pick him.
Yeah, I think for us, when we were at 54, we felt like Mike offered a skill set or offered a combination of strengths that are typically pretty hard to find with just his interior rush ability. We felt like there was really only a small number of guys at the position this year that we could see at maturity becoming featured interior rushers, and Mike was one of them. We felt like he was really the last guy that fit our scheme, that was on the board that could do that. And so based on the offers we received, we just didn't think that they were strong enough. There was enough of a premium on them for us to move out of the pick.
And so you take Mike Hall. And one of the stats I saw that I really liked was he had the fourth best pass rush win rate over amongst the big time defensive tackles in this draft. But he was number one in time to pressure. He got there in just under 3 seconds. And some of the others, big names, were 3.5, 4 seconds. That's an eternity in the NFL. If you get a guy who can get to the quarterback in under 3 seconds, that's a big deal.
Yeah, when we actually look at, I'd say linemen in general, whether it's rushers or offensive linemen and pass protection, we actually measure them based on early pressures and late pressures, whether it's allowed or created.
Yep.
Because there is a difference, and particularly, with the defensive tackles, it really is about quick pressure, getting the quarterback quickly. And Mike was really good at that throughout his career, and we're actually very hopeful that he'll continue that trend as a pro.
I can tell you, Jim Schwartz, as he walked, so we weren't having anything tipped to us on the radio show that night, but we saw Jim Schwartz walk out after, I guess, the pick was made but had not been announced. And we all saw the smile on his face, like, has to be a defensive guy. And sure enough, it was there with Mike Hall. And then you come back on the lines, and you've talked about that, will always be strong in the trenches. And a pick that, All-American, All-Big Ten, big, mauling guard on an offensive line that dominated college football really for the last 3 years or so. He's a big reason why you get Zach Zinner there in that second round at the guard position.
Zach, we thought, honestly, was one of the best pass protectors in the draft. Has an outstanding makeup. He's played a lot of football in his college career. He's played at a high level against really top-notch competition. So he was a really clean profile. I know he had the broken leg at the end of the year, but outside of that, he was a really clean profile for us. He's already cleared, ready to go.
Sure.
So we were pretty excited to get him in the third round.
He just strikes me when you read everything about him, like, this is a guy who's just going to be a starter for 10 years in the league. Just what it kind of feels like.
I mean, you always hope that. I don't think anyone can really say that with certainty.
Of course.
We're certainly hopeful that Zach will have a nice long career.
And we talked coming in that a lot of this draft is going to be about succession planning. And Zach Zinner, I think, is a prime example of that, right? We don't want him to play any snaps this year behind Joel and Wyatt, obviously, but in the future, there's going to be a time when you're going to need him to be a starter.
Yeah, I think that's fair that, we want young players to be able to progress as is appropriate for them. We do view Zach as a player that has starting potential in our offense, and we think that he's going to be able to, grow and learn and develop with some of the best teachers and one of the best O-line rooms in the league.
All right, you get into day three, picked up from you over the years, that in day three you're trying to identify a particular trait or skill set. While we know that the whole picture is not perfect because they wouldn't be there in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, but we're trying to identify some. So if you could go along with you guys, we'll start with Jamari Thrash, the wide receiver out of Louisville, previously Georgia State. What made him an appealing target for you to be a Cleveland Brown?
It was really his separation ability. He's a player in college who was able to separate both vertically and laterally. He's not necessarily a big guy, not necessarily strong, but he is a very refined route runner. He has great quickness, and then he's also really good with the ball in his hands. So it really was probably the separation in the rack that drew us to Jamari.
Does he have a potential role as a returner?
That's not really as much in his profile, okay, to be honest. He can play outside and inside. He'll be what we call a good choice route runner within our offense, but the return skill set is not necessarily what drew us to him.
I don't know if you saw Steve Smith's comments, but Steve Smith's a big fan of Jamari Thrash.
I did not see that.
A complete wide receiver. So hopefully he's right.
We shall see,
yeah,
right?
We'll see. Yeah, hopefully he'll ice up. Let's go. All right, then in the sixth round, we get Nathaniel Watson, teammate of MJ Emerson's at Mississippi State. And, I mean, you just read his profile, 10 sacks, 137 tackles, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, the best defensive player in the best conference in college football, or arguably Big Ten right there as well. You're going earlier, but this guy just seems productive and big, and I know you wanted a big body in that room.
Yeah, I think Nathaniel, he's played a lot of football. He's got a very, very, very high football IQ. you know, our defense is really predicated on speed and range, but that's not to say that there isn't a role for someone who provides a little bit more thump, provided that they can run well enough, which Nathaniel can.
Yeah,
but we view him in a base down role. I think he's a good blitzer and pass rusher relative to the off the ball linebacker position. So he's a guy who can play really Mike and Sam for us, and we're excited to work with him.
So in some ways, you know, Sione Takitaki, who is now with New England but was so great while he was here, kind of gave you that physical presence. But I would remember a lot of the fronts that Jim Schwartz had put together in his pressure packages, he would be on the line and blitzing. Is that something that Nathaniel Watson can do?
I think that's something that we certainly want to see once we get him in the guys. Like we think that that's something that he has the versatility to do, but we won't know until we get him in the building.
All right, then we go to the seventh round. Two picks here. The first, Miles Harden out of South Dakota. Good ball production, willing tackler. Seems like he can play inside, outside, can play zone, can play man. This seems kind of like a gem. A lot of people thought this was a very, very good value pick.
Yeah, Miles, we think he's a good small school corner. He's tough. He's got good instincts. He's athletic, good ball skills. I think he profiles a little bit more as a nickel for and then even possibly in some packages, maybe a little bit of safety. So we are excited to work with him. He's a good developmental player, and we think he could be a versatile piece on the back end for us.
We say safety could maybe like kind of a when he comes down, kind of put a safety in that nickel role to give you the tackle advantage. I like that. And then in the final round, this guy is built. I mean, Juwan Briggs out of Cincinnati. That's an impressive looking just physical human being.
Yeah, Juwan, and we had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with him throughout the process.
He did write
me a nice note. He came and visited for one of our 30 visits in the spring. He's a guy who plays with a very high motor. He's got good quickness. He plays our style of football in terms of the attack front, where it's getting up the field and being disruptive. So I know, Jock and Jim and our defensive coaching staff, they're excited to work with him, and we're excited to have him back in Cleveland.
So now you've got at least the initial kind of setup of, I think, 89 maybe once we get through undrafted free agents, and I know you guys will be announcing those shortly. Is there anything you can talk about on those yet or not yet?
Not at the moment.
I figure not. When you kind of look at this roster, I'll tell you what, AB, there's so much competition to be on this football team. There will be names that our fans are very accustomed to that are going to be fighting for their roster spots this fall. You've always wanted to build a team that built competition. Well, guess what? It's here.
We feel good about the quality and depth of the roster. We're obviously not done. May will be a pretty important month as we see our rookies in the building and on the grass. There are a couple fortify.
Yep.
And then obviously as we get into camp and preseason scouting, we'll scour the rest of the league to see if there are other areas that we can upgrade. But like as we sit here on April 29th, we're looking forward to seeing these guys through OTAs.
When you think of all of the work that goes into those 3 days in terms of your whole scouting operation, the work that your road scouts put in, how do you kind of quantify that, or what's kind of your sense of perhaps, I'm sure, gratitude? You love the collaboration of it, but for all the people that it takes to have a draft the way that you guys have done over the last 5 years?
It takes a ton of teamwork. We talk about football being the consummate team sport. It's not just the guys on the field. It's really everyone involved in putting the team together, coaching the team, developing the team, and then obviously our guys who play the game. And I have a huge feeling of, as you mentioned, gratitude for all the people who sacrifice countless hours to do quality work and bring quality information. The weekend being a culmination of that is always something that's really special at the end.
It most certainly is. And now the real special stuff's going to be what we can see, as you always say, get these guys on the grass and see what the 2024 Cleveland Browns look like. Well, AB, thanks so much for the time, and hopefully this is another one of your very fruitful drafts here as a general manager of the Cleveland Browns.
Appreciate it, Nathan.
All right, there you go. Coming up next, second hour of the program, we'll put a bow on the NFL draft. Coming up next, you'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
and be part of one of the most passionate fan bases of the National Football League. Join Next Gen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns. Being a Next Gen STM, the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Did I tell you guys I found a snake in the garage?
No. I'm not a fan of snakes, by the way.
I hate snakes, but my wife, if she found a snake in the garage, the house would be for sale this morning.
So, we...
That's fair.
We cleaned it out Sunday. I got a picture.
Okay.
So, we cleaned out. I like washed the garage, got it kind of cleaned out, organized it, spring clean type thing. And later Sunday afternoon when NBC and I got done playing golf, I went in there, and there was a snake on the garage floor.
A little garden snake?
I'd only seen one other snake on the property, and it was like one of those black, like I think they're called like rat snakes maybe, like long black ones.
Yep.
This was the guy.
Holy moly.
No.
Is that a timber rattlesnake?
I don't think so.
Was it rattling?
It was trying to rattle, but some, like, we had bull snakes out west, and they would rattle.
Is it a northern?
Even though they weren't.
A northern copperhead?
I don't believe it's. I think that's more southern Ohio. A copperhead. I don't think we have
those. I looked up all the snakes here that kind of look like that. An eastern milk snake?
That could be.
It's a snake that I don't want in my property.
Okay.
Ohio's home to 3 species of venomous snakes. How to spot them? All right. The 3 are, I mean, it looks a lot like this guy on the left to me.
Let me get a closer.
Third species. So they've got.
That's our head. You think that matches up?
Yeah. Doesn't that look a lot like that guy?
I don't know. This pattern is going crosswise.
According to the blah, 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 two of them are rattlesnakes. The third is the northern copperhead. Kind of looks like this swamp rattler a little bit, too.
See, the difference, though, is I think the rings are going across its body.
As opposed to just being
as opposed to, like, down.
It's a full,
you know what I mean?
Ring.
Yeah, it's like a ring all the way around.
What about this guy?
I think he's too predominant. Well, maybe like a young one. Yeah, I need some sort of a snake guide. So, like, it was just, first of all, if it would have been like, if my wife would have been there, it would have been DEFCON 1.
Yeah.
It would have been the end of the world as we know it.
Sure.
She was not. So, ZenBC and I, he wanted to find a permanent solution in the moment. In the garage floor. And I said, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't want to clean that up. I'm not really into that anyway.
Then you have to explain.
I'm not into it. So I was able to get it. I've dealt with these a lot out west. Normally rattlesnakes or bull snakes. Rattlesnakes we treat a little differently than bull snakes. But I got him onto a rake, like one of those long grass rakes.
Yep.
So I got him onto there, maneuvered him onto there, and then I took him out. And then you have to make a decision. Do I want this to be done with or give him a fighting chance? My guess is critters and such around. It'd be my hunch as he grows. I got a little bit of land. So I just slung him deep into the trees. And I said, best of luck to you, pal. Maybe Hank the Hawk gets you.
No way in hell.
The Hawk's going to get him. I think that's a pretty good shot. Hank's flying around a lot right now. So I think he could get him.
We have a retention pond. Off the backyard.
Oh, that's not. That would have been. Could they grow?
No,
in
no.
That?
That's where they go. That's where they usually come out of.
I got you.
So I will find one inevitably closer to the house. Never. We've done everything we can to make sure that they are not on the property.
Sure.
It's an eastern rat.
I will
snake.
Quietly I just grab a shovel, like pick up said snake, take it somewhere, and dispose of it. Rapido.
Yeah.
And then the wife's like, "What were you doing?" It. I was like. Just out for a walk.
Don't worry about it.
Why were you carrying a shovel? There was
something that needed
just
to be
buried.
Some
things I had to deal with.
Yeah, that looks a little bit like an eastern rat snake.
I think it's an eastern rat snake. That's what I'm going with. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure the garage door was open, sunshine.
It was dark, right?
Was it warm?
The garage was not open. But it was open during the day while we were cleaning. So could it have gotten in at some point? I mean, I've never even seen one up by the house. The other end, I've seen them a little bit, but never up by the house. Beamsies particularly was not fond of the situation.
I went through all 25 snakes in Ohio. This is from Cleveland.com, the 25 snakes with pictures and descriptions.
Yep.
The only possible ones it could be are the eastern rattlesnake, which we don't believe that it is.
Yeah.
See, this one has that same kind of thing on its head as yours, that rattlesnake. But we're just going to, whatever, he's gone. The Kirtland snake possibly, was it this dark, though? It wasn't quite this dark, was it?
I don't know, maybe. There he is.
Hmm.
So I don't think it's an eastern rattlesnake. I think it's
that rat snake.
Yeah.
There are only so many that have markings like that. A lot of them are solid color. It's got to be this guy. It just has to be.
Yeah, that's got to be it, right?
But he doesn't have full rings. Like, he has, like...
Yeah, this guy's got full rings.
It could be a fox snake.
I don't know,
but it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got no time for snakes.
Not crazy about it.
This is a milk snake, but if the colors were right, that would look similar.
Maybe this is younger, and maybe the color changes as it gets ages. Older.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long would you say that was? 2 feet? 3 feet?
Maybe more like 18 inches, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. He was a young guy. Just a little fella.
Okay.
Yeah. Really quick. I mean, I was able to corral him pretty easily. NBC and I were able to get him on the rake, and then we gave him a fling.
Jeez.
I think he's probably hawk meat, be my guess.
Let's hope.
Yeah. The hawks are coming and looking for snakes a lot?
Oh, dude, my property, it's Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom, dude. There's all sorts of stuff flying around in there.
Oh, yeah.
I got bats at night. I got owls, hawks and owls.
Hawks.
Yeah, they're zipping in and out. I'm right by the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, dude.
Yeah, I know.
They're zipping around.
I know where you are.
There's people all over in there. Little predators and prey. Fox and coyotes and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Less of those now with Buddy Garrity, though. Don't see many of those guys anymore. All right, we have top seven steals of the 2024 NFL draft. This is from Cody Benjamin. Who do you think – what was your favorite – who had your favorite draft?
Which of team any team?
Period. Full stop.
Probably the Bears.
That's the easiest one, right? And the most simple.
Yeah.
I thought Kwesi had a pretty good draft.
Yeah, I like to get a quarterback and a pass rusher in the same draft. That feels pretty good.
Steals of the draft, number one was Dallas Turner, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Troy Franklin on that?
I'm going to go through right now.
Go ahead, give me.
Quinyon Mitchell, Philadelphia corner that fell.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like Philly's draft. You got two stud corners.
Did you see that guy who does one of those FX shows was saying, or FS1 shows was saying that Howie Roseman just does media guys' drafts, and that's why he's always praised? That was his big theory. I'm like, well, they're winning a lot, too.
Yeah, so there also is that. So they were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and won one in 17.
Yeah. Like, they tried it. I mean, old boy with the NFL Network was running the Raiders with Gruden for a little while. Mayock. It didn't work out great.
Oh, my. Great. It was an epic disaster.
Tyrion Arnold, corner of Detroit.
That was a good pick first.
Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Washington.
In the second round. Wasn't he from Illinois?
Yes. That's the guy that
went to Washington.
Yeah, so yeah, he went to Washington.
And they have
Washington's
Deron Payne
got like
and Jonathan
plethora
Allen
of defensive tackles.
Okay.
Cooper DeJean.
That's Philly
Dean
again.
Philly.
Yep.
Peyton Wilson, linebacker, Pittsburgh.
So that's one. If he can stay healthy, they got a first round talent in the third round. But he's had 12 surgeries.
He's been playing without an ACL.
Doesn't have an ACL. His shoulders are shot.
I don't understand how that happened.
He's had 12 surgeries since his senior year in high school. I mean, just think about that for a second.
Yeah. Jordan Travis, quarterback, Jets.
Who?
Jordan Travis. He was the kid who got hurt for Florida State. If he doesn't get hurt late in the season, they play for the national title.
Slipped all the way to number 171 overall.
Okay. Yeah. And who's the last one?
Stand by. I think that was it. That was seven.
I got Mitchell. Oh, and then the first one was the pass rusher, Dallas Turner. So, I mean, he's got one, two, three are in the first round, two in the second round, one in the third, and then Travis was in what, the seventh round?
Sixth
round. Did he have any honorable mentions?
No.
Huh.
Is there in this fifth round option? Is there anybody whose fifth round option hasn't been picked up that we're surprised, or have they all been?
We have a tracker, right?
Yeah. Let's see.
Who hasn't been that?
Well, obviously, Zach Wilson.
Go through it like in order.
All right. So Trevor Lawrence picked up.
Yep.
Zach Wilson, not so fast.
Okay.
Trey Lance, fast. Kyle Pitts was picked up yesterday at number 4.
Okay.
Jamar Chase, yes.
Yes.
There's just pop-up things going on here. Jalen Waddle was picked up at number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Penei Sewell, he's got a whole new contract.
Yeah, new contract.
J.C. Horn.
Carolina.
Was picked up over the weekend.
Is that Carolina?
Yep.
By Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina.
He's good.
Denver picked up Patrick Surtain the 2nd at number 9.
Yeah. So far, only 2 in the first.
Devontae Smith, obviously, with a new deal.
He was 10th in that draft? Wow. Okay.
Number 11 was Justin Fields.
Nope.
Not picked up.
So far, the only no's have been quarterbacks.
Dallas picked up Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm. God, man. What a good pick at 12.
Yeah. Number 13, the Chargers have not picked up Rashawn Slater's fifth-year option.
Have not?
Have not. It says TBD.
I thought they just did. Rashawn Slater.
According to this article, they have not.
The Chargers said Monday they picked up the fifth-year option on offensive lineman Rashawn Slater's contract, which means, as Coach Jim Harbaugh said the other day, he's locked in at left tackle for the next 2 seasons. So, yes, he is.
Okay.
I knew I'd seen that.
I was going to say,
it was yesterday.
I would be shocked that they hadn't done it.
Yeah. Okay.
The Jets at 14, Elijah Vera Tucker. Joe Douglas told reporters the Jets will pick it up. They have not done it yet, but okay. They will. Jacksonville is not picking up Mac Jones at number 15.
So far it's all quarterbacks, 4 no's on the quarterbacks.
The Cardinals at 16, TBD, Zaven Collins, Arizona Cardinal linebacker.
I remember when everybody wanted him to the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Leatherwood was picked 17th by the Raiders.
No chance.
None.
He was on our practice squad last year.
I remember that, yeah.
Last year. Number 18, Jalen Phillips. His contract was picked up by the Dolphins.
Yeah, of course.
Number 19, Jamin Davis, Commanders linebacker.
Yep.
Not yet.
Really?
Nope. The Chiefs at 20 took Kadarius Toney.
No way.
They have not picked that up.
No way.
The Colts have not picked up Quiddy Pay.
Ooh.
Defensive end.
Okay.
The Titans at 22, Caleb Farley. They have not picked that up yet.
Yeah. So now again, this is a tough stretch of the draft, right?
Yeah. Here. 23, the Vikings picked up Christian Darrisaw's contract extension.
Yeah.
Najee Harris at 24 as yet. Travis Etienne at 25 did have his contract picked up.
Travis Etienne did?
Yes.
And they did not pick up Najee Harris?
Correct.
That's interesting. Hmm.
Steelers have not picked up Najee, but the Jacksonville Jaguars picked up Etienne. They did that yesterday.
Yeah, Najee Harris has 3,269 yards, 22 touchdowns, 866 receiving, 6 touchdowns, and Etienne has 2,133, 16, 792, and 1. But he missed a year, really.
Missed the whole year, yeah.
The Browns picking up Newsom, obviously.
Rashad Bateman, no way.
He's got a new contract.
He has a new contract?
They redid it.
A two-year contract extension right before the draft.
He has 1,100 yards, 4 touchdowns for his career.
Yeah.
New two-year deal for him. Saints defensive end Peyton Turner at 28 has not been picked up.
I'm surprised Quiddy Pay hasn't. Quiddy Pay should get picked up. He's got 18.5 sacks.
Packers corner Eric Stokes at 29, not been picked up yet.
Okay.
At 30, Gregory Rousseau for the Bills. Defensive end, they picked up his option.
Yep.
Owe for the Ravens, obviously. That's been picked up. That and got picked up actually today.
Tryon Shwinka out of Washington.
Not picked up yet.
For Tampa.
Here's one. There were 6 quarterbacks drafted in the first round of this year's NFL draft. Give me the over-under on how many will get a fifth-year option picked up.
Or extended.
Or extended.
Wait, for this year?
Yeah, this year. If you were to, if I were to, because you just said four not picked up in that draft.
Yeah.
So 4 years from now, how many?
And that was four of the.
I would say four out of the six.
I would say the overrunner is 2.5.
Don't get extended.
Don't. Yeah.
2.5.
I think that's the right number. I think it's 2.5. I think that's what I would say too. That it's 2.5. That's how different.
That's the only way you could bet the over. I think if it was three, it would, and you had to get to four to win, 3.5 would be tough.
That's how different we view quarterback now, the league views it, than it did for the greater part of our lives paying attention to this league.
Yeah, that's
like you just don't view it that way anymore. All right, good stuff there. Coming up next, big ones. You're going. You got a big game tonight for the Cavaliers.
Let's go.
Z is going. You'll be in the house bringing your juice. And the end of an era as well. We'll get to it coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by BallyBet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Champions League, the free gaming community for Browns fans around the world. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/Champions League to join in on the fun right now. Time for the Griff Fact of the Day.
Fact of the day, fact of the day, fact of the day. It's the Griff Fact of the Day.
Nick Saban's final draft class had 10 players drafted. That is the sixth time that he's had double-digit players drafted, which is the most drafts with 10-plus players picked in the common era. The interesting note is his 10th player was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft.
Oh, yeah. That's the first time a Bama guy is Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
So this is why Nick Saban is done, because he controlled his talent at Alabama. If he could out-recruit you and he could out-scout you and develop you, he won.
Yeah.
He had the best teams.
He had the best teams.
Urban would always say, this isn't that hard.
Well, that's what I thought about college. I mean, that was kind of my thing with college
have
football.
Have the best. But that's also why the coach is so important.
Some teams, as a recruiter.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to be able to recruit it. You have to get the right people there. It's college football innovation. There's some of it. Like Lincoln obviously has some of that, and over the last couple of years, some people think Ryan Day has some of that, although not recently because the wins haven't been there. But in terms of what he does offensively, schematically. But
sure.
Chip Kelly was another one. But in the end, it comes down to, do you have the best players? And most times they did. They have the best players.
And their backups may have been the best players.
When I covered the national championship game between Ohio State and Oregon, and they had Mariota, like they had a good team. But it was just when Ohio State walked into the room and they walked into the room, it's like, well, this isn't going to go well for Oregon.
Yeah.
Like, they just did not have it.
This is a different level.
This is a different type of human that is being represented here. How about this, that at age 40, LeBron James put up a 39-11.
He's got to get out of there.
Well, every one of those games was competitive. It was a five-game win for Denver, but they won two. There were two buzzer beaters.
The first round.
It's been the you're exactly right, Gibby. It's been the best series of the first round. They went toe to toe with the defending champs, so I think you're going to win it again. LeBron was incredible in the series.
Yeah,
incredible. Davis was good too. And you just say, like, at age four, like anytime people are like, "Well, Jordan didn't get swept in there. Jordan didn't lose in the first round. He was on Wizards team, dudes. At this age, he didn't make the postseason."
Correct.
Stop it.
Correct.
He wasn't doing 39-11 at age 40. Like, stop.
It really is kind of crazy.
It's nuts. Absolutely nuts that he's doing this at this age. And you hear like these clowns like Paul Pierce like running their mouth. You are irrelevant, dude.
What's Paul Pierce saying?
Oh, he's all happy because he's peacocking around because LeBron lost last night. Like, who are you? Stop.
Aren't the Nuggets the defending champions?
They are. Yeah. So no Steph, no LeBron, no KD.
KD, but KD's the least interesting of those three.
Agreed.
By a wide margin.
But if you think about the NBA over the last 20 years,
yeah,
those three have been the focal point.
Totally.
And they're all done. They are all absolutely done. I was thinking about this, Gibby. I'm sure you would probably agree with this. I've talked about, obviously we do all the NFL stuff, but individual athletes, I don't think I've talked about one more than LeBron in my career.
That's probably fair. I mean, he's been doing this for 21 seasons in the NBA.
From an NBA standpoint?
Well, just for, no, I'm saying sport. I talk more about football, clearly, but it's in general. Like I talk about a bunch of Buckeyes or a bunch of Browns or a bunch of Bengals, bunch of Steelers, bunch of NFL guys. But in terms of like just one dude, I think he's probably it.
The only other guy would be Brady.
But Bronny's here.
Yeah.
You had the decision. You had the return. Sure. You had
the championship.
Championship.
He was last. He was last MVP in 2012-2013 with the Miami Heat.
He should have won one of the ones here.
He came in second in 2019 with the Lakers. He came in second in 2017-18 with the Cavs. He was last.
Who is better?
The last time that he was first team All NBA was 2019-2020. That seems crazy to me.
Well, the problem is you've had this Giannis run.
Like he went in 21-22. This last 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this year he went 26 points, 7 boards, 8 assists a game. The year before that, 29 points, 7 boards. The year before that was 29 points, 8 boards, and 7 assists. The year before that was, and he was not first or second team All-NBA in any of these seasons, 30 points, 8 boards, 6 assists.
Like, I rip on him, but like,
come on.
Without him,
that's
where,
talking
where
at
are
ages
the
39, 38, 37. Like, this is.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the most valuable to your team,
how about this? At age 37, his 30.3 points per game were the highest of his career. His first year that he went to the Lakers, 25 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds.
Yeah. No, it's nuts. It was nuts.
That's crazy that he has not won an MVP.
How about this?
Here
are his numbers when he won the MVPs.
He should have won it here.
Here are the numbers that he won
the
MVP.
He should have won it.
On the return.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he won the MVPs. 2008-2009 with Cleveland, 28 points, 7.6 boards, 7.2 assists, 29 points, 7 boards, 9 assists. Then he won it again down in Miami, 27 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, 27 points, 8 boards, 7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
That last year was 29 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. The year before that was 30 points, 8 boards, 6.5 assists.
His numbers don't change.
No, for 20 years he's put up 28-7-7 as an average.
His career averages for his entire career are 27 points, 7.5 boards, 7.4 assists for his career.
20-year career.
20-year career.
Average.
But he's
and he's still doing it now. He was unbelievable in this series.
All right, here we go.
This series was crazy how good. I mean, he was every game. He was over 60%.
This year in the playoffs, 56% from the floor, 40% from three. He averaged 28 points, 9 assists, 7 boards, and 2.5 steals a game.
20th year in the league?
In this year's playoffs.
Yes.
His best playoff ever was, from scoring standpoint, was in 2008-2009. He scored 35.3 with 9 boards and 7 assists for the Cavs. Then in 2011, the first year they actually won in Miami, 30.3 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. When he won for the year Cleveland won it, in those playoffs, he averaged 26 points, 10 boards, and 8 assists.
The year they lost it in 15 was in the finals. He should have been finals MVP.
15, 30 points, 11.3 boards, 9 assists a game.
Come on. Yeah. No, it's.
He didn't shoot well in that year, though.
Dude, he was playing with Dellavedova.
I know. Dude, come on.
No Kyrie, no K-Love. Like, come on.
Dellavedova was our second leading scorer in the series, I believe.
Come on.
And then Timofey Mozgov was third.
What?
So.
At least Dellavedova, like, kind of could. Yang thing is right, driving me insane.
So when people say, would you welcome him back? Yeah. You're damn right I would.
I was reading.
Yes, I would.
I was reading The Great Cleve T.A.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly.
It's 2 references in 1 show.
That's a lot. Cleve getting a lot of love.
He got another one? What else did I get?
And it's usually preceded by the great.
The great Cleve, yeah.
Yeah.
That this is supposedly not a good draft at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that he thinks their teams, he said this draft's going to be fascinating. Teams are going to be jumping all over each other to try to draft Bronny, which is going to make it, he said, as soon as you get kind of halfway through the lottery, teams are going to, I think, try to do that to get LeBron, which would be absolutely wild if that happens.
I feel like they'll control where he goes. He's powerful enough. Rich Paul's powerful enough. They can control it. The kid averaged 5 a game at USC. He had a heart thing that maybe damn near cost him his life last summer. Like, you know.
Let's take a deep breath here.
It's a lot.
I do think he said every single pick will have a question starting in the lottery. Teams might be trading up ahead of others who could have interest. Considering this is an awful draft, it could end up being a free-for-all just to try to secure LeBron for a year or two. It's kind of insane if you think about it, considering he's probably not even draftable as a prospect, he being Bronny. He said, and to be honest, if that happens, it would do the kid an injustice. Players and other draftees around the league would resent him for not actually earning a spot. He probably ends up as a laughing stock in the locker room, unfortunately.
I'm going to throw it out there. When was the last time someone said it was a great year for the NBA draft?
Wemby. Wembanyama last year. Because they also had, who's the
what pick was Edwards?
Brandon Miller, the two in that pick?
In that draft? Yes, I think he was good.
What pick was Edwards?
Edwards is the number one overall pick.
He was. He's quite good.
Yeah. But it took a minute. It takes a minute to get there. You're drafting an 18-year-old. It doesn't happen overnight. Cavs fever?
I don't know. Yeah, win the game. Let's go. Stop screwing around.
It feels to me like everyone's kind of where I am with them was after they won the first two games, it was like, just wake me up when we play Boston.
Yeah.
And it's like, you let them back by everything else that's happened.
Well, and it's the way you lost, the way that you were just physically dismantled, and
that's the point.
And the lack of heart that was shown in the second half of game four was, you were winning and you ended up getting smoked.
The what you just said, that's the other thing about, like, this was an uphill one for LeBron and the Lakers playing, I think, the best team in the NBA. And the fact that they were down 3-0 and fought to win a game four, the fact that last night they played their butts off and damn near won in Denver, like, their give-a-damn levels doesn't need to be checked.
Yeah.
It was there. And there's plenty of teams in the association in the first round who, like, as soon as the chips get down, yeah, we're good.
By the way.
Pelicans going to Galveston. According to Chuck.
By the way, the Cavs haven't scored 100 points in a game in this series.
Yeah, it's weird.
I believe they've only done it one time under Bickerstaff in the playoffs.
97, 96, 83, 89. And you look around some of the other playoff series, it's like 120, 115.
Yeah.
Their teams are scoring.
By the way, tonight in the association is a solid night on the TV. 76ers, Knicks on TNT at 7.
Are you surprised by how the Knicks have kind of are going to dispatch of them?
Well, Embiid's not there. So I guess what I'm more surprised – I didn't realize when Jalen Brunson left Dallas that he was that good.
I don't think anybody did.
You know?
He didn't like
– It didn't seem like
– He didn't sign for anything absorbent, right?
So that's the 7 o'clock game. Of course, 8 o'clock, Cavs Magic is somehow relegated
NBA
to NBA
TV
again.
In a game 5 of a 2-2 series.
You can get in for $18 like Uno did.
Yeah.
No one here cares, let alone –
Hold on.
Around the country.
Tickets to get in I'm looking at Madison Square Garden. The get in, tickets as low as $400 for the game tonight. Mm-hmm. For the Cavs, tickets as low as $29.
Yeah. So you're not even enthused here about it. So no wonder you're on.
Interestingly, in Milwaukee, tickets as low as $39.
Well,
no Giannis and no Dame.
I was going to say, Dame's
out
done
too.
Yeah.
That's at 9:30 tonight on TNT. Bucks,
so they're toast.
Pacers.
So then do they reseed in the NBA like they do in the NFL?
They do not.
No.
Stay.
So it'll be Knicks, Pacers. Knicks will smush them.
Yep. And then Celtics.
Pacers are kind of fun to watch.
They are fun because they can score, but the Knicks can play defense and are very, very physical.
Yeah, and the Garden will be nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Pacers are fun.
It's pretty amazing. Like, Brunson's kind of done what nobody could do. Like, people now want to go play for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like,
and they haven't really.
Carmelo couldn't do that. Like,
the LeBron rumors.
They haven't really had Randall at all,
right? About that.
Him going to the Knicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have never. Does he have any chance to come back in the playoffs?
I don't think so. I saw somebody say, you know, the Cavs need some help on the wing or whatever. LeBron could feel like that, what they're looking for on the wing. I'm like, LeBron is a point guard. Can we stop? He has a ball in his hands all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't want to be classified as that, but, like, he has the ball in his hands all the time.
Can we talk about Josh Hart is 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
You know what he's averaging in this playoff series?
I don't.
17 points, 13 boards a game.
Oh, yeah, because he had that one where he had like 20-some, didn't he?
He's had 17, 6, 15, 13, and 10. So he's had double digits in.
There was one at the end of the year, though, I think maybe even playing.
I think it was against the Cavs.
When
I was
like
there.
20-some. Yeah, you were there. That's right.
He had 20 and like 20. Brunson went out at the very beginning of that game. They had no Randle, and the Cavs lost.
Yeah. No, they got something going there. We'll do a little higher, lower coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Hello, Gibbe.
Hi, Chris Sims, real quick on Twitter.
Yes.
Along with Mike Florio. Best wide receiver trios heading into the 2024 season.
All right, should we do ours before you give it to us?
Sure. If you just want to do the team, that's fine.
Yeah.
Since we're up against it.
Yep. Top of my head, I went Miami, Chicago, Vikings. God, what about Bengals? Give me Bengals right now over Vikings. Go. What do you got? What do you got?
For the most improved?
No, top three receiving.
Best wide receiver trio.
Bengals, Dolphins, Bears.
So I'm assuming these guys went back and forth on their picks.
Oh, they like snaked it?
Yeah.
So there are six teams represented?
Some make sense, others don't.
Vikings,
Chris
Eagles.
Sims, his top three
what
groups.
What about Rams?
The Bears.
Okay. Yeah.
The Rams,
good call,
and the Seahawks.
Jackson Smith,
he's got to go.
He's got to go.
Florio's picks, Houston, Minnesota,
Diggs
and Miami.
No Bengals on any of the six?
No Bengals on either one.
For right now, they're definitely one of the six.
Hold on.
Collins and Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell is better than
Jamar Chase
and Higgins, A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, or Brandon Ayuk, first-round rookie, and Deebo Samuel?
No.
What are we talking about?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
I had Miami, Chicago, Cincinnati.
Chicago? When is the last time?
Never.
Not since the Willie Gault days. Mm.
They still weren't even.
Keep going.
Sid Luckman to Bronco Nagurski.
They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. He will be there. He'll do it next year. Staying healthy, yes.
Yeah, they'll have 2,000-yard receivers. If he stays healthy. And they'll have a third close.
They're going to be fun to watch.
They are.
Our corner, Cam Sutton,
mm-hmm.
tweeting – Cam Mitchell, sorry. Why did I say Cam Sutton? Good catch. Uh-huh. Tweeting at Greg Newsom, everything on you tonight.
That's good.
28 minutes ago.
Good, good. So much more to come. You'll see Cleveland Browns Daily on 850.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Did you guys see they're doing a Fall Guy movie with Ryan Gosling?
Really?
Yeah.
Saw the preview the other night.
Gosling is going to play the Fall Guy.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I
when
don't
I
know.
Said Fall Guy, what's the first thing that came into your mind?
Stuntman.
Z?
Yeah. Just what was the old show? I'm trying to even think who was in it.
The Open.
The Open was great.
Yeah. The theme song? Heather Thomas? Come on.
It's so crazy, though, that you just put in Fall Guy and all you can see is the stuff about the 2024 Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Not the original.
Yeah. I was telling somebody this morning he was unaware that it was a television show previously.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, dude. It was
that's what I remember about it. Where's
Yeah.
Where?
I forgot about Heather Thomas.
How could you forget about that?
Yeah.
I mean I would watch that show for that. When I was like 5 or 6.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
That is a classic. Who was that main Lee Majors.
Lee Majors, dude.
Yeah, Lee Majors.
Lee Majors.
Lee.
$1 million man.
Majors.
He's the unknown stuntman that make Eastwood look so fine. Come on. That's
Lee
living.
Majors.
All you need in those days to get a series greenlit, good-looking dude, cool car.
Yep.
Rest, take care of itself. Dukes of Hazzard, Knight Rider,
Knight
Fall
Rider.
Guy, Magnum P.I., Simon Majors and Simon.
Lee Majors was in Scrooged.
Sure.
Oh, baby.
There's
so
many
of them. The red car, the detectives. The detective show.
Magnum P.I.
No.
It was Hardcastle and McCormick.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch was another
Thanks,
one.
RJ.
Simon and Simon. Like all, just get some cars. Get you a car. That's all you need.
Anymore.
That's it. Stefanski's going to join us next. Next Level coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.